We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32.
The UFO show, Dan. It is 2021. Happy New Year's to one and all. And welcome back to our first UFO show of this new calendar year. The upgradable Friday Orbit, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good. We're recording this in 2020, December 31st. So if we have an unexpected Y2K 2020 rollover to 2021 issue, and we are now being listened to in a post-apocalyptic world.
Right. Sure. Right.
Remember to be kind to your neighbors. Share water. Share supplies. If you're going to loot, loot kindly. And if there is no apocalyptic situation at the onset because of some sort of digital tragedy, I hope everybody's 2021 is going well so far.
You know, now that we've branched out a little bit into the whole Twitch market and we've been playing games, and you're going to play games at some point soon.
Yes,
I know, sir. Solid Wife Kate's been watching one game in particular called Rust, which, as she described to me, I know nothing about it.
Oh, she watches this. She watches people stream a game called Rust on Twitch.
Correct. I believe Rust is like a post-apocalyptic type of scenario, as you described, where you kind of band together and do what you can to survive. How would you do in a game like that?
Oh, I would be terrible. I have very limited skills in terms of life. I can change a tire. Yeah. I guess that would help out on the open road. I have a certain degree of charm in the real world that might be able to get me places. But no, in terms of fighting, in terms of survival out in nature, I would say quite too very limited.
We're living in the digital age, Dan. That's the problem with you and me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get us out there. We got to rough it. I don't know how that's going to go.
I can cook. I could probably make a fire. I've had to
I could
do that
definitely
a
make a fire.
Before.
I could make a fire if I had to.
Yeah. Yeah. But hand-to-hand combat over a raccoon carcass for dinner, I don't know. I might be losing that carcass.
So look, we're not here to talk about the negativity in the world, because we've all experienced more than enough of that over the last calendar year. 2020 was not what it was supposed to be.
Right.
But we got what we got. We did get a college football season. We can talk about how that felt to live through, both on this show and at some point in the very near future. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. But that being said, Dan, it is New Year's Day, as many of you are listening to this, even though we're recording in 2020. And given that we had a goofy year where so much of what we took for granted just wasn't meant to be or made itself very apparent, I thought maybe we could take the opportunity today to give some New Year's resolutions to our fine verballerhood. And these are not just like, I'm not talking personal resolutions. I want to work out more, right? Everyone wants to work out more. I'm talking as college football fans. What are our New Year's resolutions as we move forward?
Do you have personal ones? Do you make them? I mean, well, we can get to them at the end of the show, potentially.
I'm not good at resolutions. I'm not good at setting goals, which, as my wife tells me, I'm not good at thinking things through in advance.
So these all sound like resolutions.
Generally, I am
an
not
improving
good at,
tie.
I am not good at thinking things through in advance. So maybe that's one. Maybe I need to take a beat and before I jump, think a little bit. But no, I'm not good at goal setting.
Okay.
Are you?
No, not at all. But I need to, that's something I need to improve upon. I need to be more organized about my goals and checking off tasks. I'm very good actually at writing, like, this is what I need to do this Thursday. And then I do three of them and I'm like, I wonder what's on sale at Amazon. That's what happens. Like, oh, I need to pay the electric bill. And then I go on to Chrome or whatever. And I'm like, let's see what deals are happening in the electronics world.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So no, I need to get better at that for sure. And I need to get way more yoked. I definitely need to get more yoked.
Well, who doesn't need to get more yoked? But
that's true.
This is where we stand.
Jacked. Okay. Let's make college football resolutions about how we want to live as college football fans and or podcasters in 2021 and beyond. How about that?
I think that's an excellent idea. So with that as the backdrop, you know where the show is headed. We do know there were a bunch of games that took place that are continuing to take place literally as we record this podcast. We are going to save the grand recap show for Sunday, because once we get to Sunday and Monday, then we'll have a bunch of games under our belt. We can talk about the playoff. We could talk about some of the other New Year's Six games. We want to try and get those all in one fell swoop. We know that Oklahoma ran it up on Florida. We know that Dan Mullen had more dumb things to say. We know about De'Aaron King's horrible injury. Hopefully, knock on wood, he will be back in time for fall camp. That's at least per the reports from Bruce Feldman, but just a horrible break for De'Aaron King. Not just in Miami losing the bowl game, who cares about that, but him tearing his ACL right after announcing that he's coming back is a huge bummer. We could talk about Texas running it up on Colorado and the picture of Sam Ellinger wearing Texas gear at the game as a kid, which was one of our Winter Wonders selections. Then we can also talk about the win for Wisconsin and whatnot. But we'll get to all of that.
Did you? I want to be very specific. Well, let's talk about Florida-Oklahoma on a next show or whatever, the next time we do recaps. But the Dan Mullen stuff after the game, I didn't watch the clip. I saw some quotes. So maybe I'm missing context. I'm open to that. What I saw was he said, as far as I'm concerned, I'm paraphrasing here once again, our final game was against Alabama last week. Was that like the crux
basically,
of what he said?
Yeah.
Basically saying it was sort of, they treated it like a walkthrough exhibition, no big deal, not a real game against a really good Oklahoma team on a national stage in a New Year's Six game. That was the essence?
I believe so, yeah.
And they did accept the check that came with the appearance.
I believe they accepted the check. This is the same guy who argued to have more fans in the stands and then flip-flopped a number of times on, I guess, just how intense or not intense you should be about the college football season. So it's just...
Right.
I like Dan Mullen as a coach, but as I think we've come to know about a lot of coaches, the more they talk, the less sometimes we all should listen. And Mullen has certainly found himself in that drawer throughout the course of the 2020 football season.
I did see, to be fair, as per the terms, this is from GatorSports.com. As per the terms of his contract, Mullen was due to receive a $200,000 bonus for reaching a New Year's Six Bowl, but he and his coaching staff will forego bonuses this season due to the ongoing COVID-19
pandemic. Nice. That's a nice gesture.
So I imagine the school is still in the conference, still happy to accept that cash, but it is nice. And this is what a lot of coaches have done. So
that is
at least nice and beneficial of the school and athletic departments and the bottom line that has been greatly affected literally everywhere.
Now, with that being said, we know that there are games going on. We're going to do a recaps.
Mayo Bowl.
And the trophy at the Mayo Bowl. Shattering. Yeah. We're going to do all that
stuff. The thirstiest bowl of them all.
All that stuff, we're going to recap it on our Sunday recording.
Yeah.
Now, resolutions. Happy 2021. It is great to see you, 2021. You could not get here soon enough. Hopefully, we put a lot of this behind us. We can move forward without a virus and play a normal college football season. There. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are the table stakes. We're all united behind that. As fans, Dan, or as a fan in your case, do you have any resolutions as we move forward?
I've got like a, what's a 10-sided shape? A dodecahedron, a decahedron, something like that?
A dodecahedron is 12.
Okay. So a 10-sided shape is called what? That's the shape of my resolution.
It would be a deca something.
10-sided shape is a decagon.
A decagon. There you go.
Yeah. A decagon. Okay. This is a single resolution that I want just as a college football fan and podcaster. I want to dig deeper into the group of five for specific entertaining players and units more often. And that's not because of anything I, you know, feel big picture about the sport. It's tough to follow 130 teams, but every time I find myself looking at a team because there's like a big match, I'm like, oh man, this dude is everywhere. And I'll watch like previous games, like, oh, this receiver is fully unstoppable. You know, I want to be able to be in on those guys earlier than I have been. I just usually do it ahead of a big game. I want to do a better job earlier on, because even though a team is like, you know, oh, they're 3-4, like, what, you know, why are we caring about this team? There's a, like, they're just dudes on every team. I want to be better in my dude hunting.
In your, I stand by that phrasing. Yeah,
yeah,
great.
I do.
Well, if Coastal Carolina taught us anything this year, it's that maybe you're onto something, right? So,
sure.
Again, consider the context of the 2020 season. Teams were playing all sorts of different numbers of games, right? Ohio State's in the playoff at 6-0. Meanwhile, we've got other teams that some have played 11 or 12. And I think because of the very structure of this season, it gave us an opportunity to pay more attention to a team like a Coastal Carolina. And
definitely,
they were one of, if not the best stories of the entire year. It was fun as hell to watch them. And I think in a normal year, it might have gotten left on the cutting room floor, Dan, because we've got so much other FBS football that we got to cover and Power 5 football that we're talking about that we just can't pay attention to a guy like a Grayson McCall like we would or like we did in 2020. So sure. I am with you. I would kind of build on that a little bit and say that I want to do better, be more outspoken. I don't know how to characterize it with regard to how do we make this a more equal playing field for those group of five schools. I'm tired just of calling them the group of five schools. It's like they're a second class citizen.
Yeah, the term group of five, actually, I agree with you. It kind of just sucks because it's sort of like a others
JV
kind of terminology. Yeah, it's stupid. And, you know, we have done far, far too many wrong things in referencing just like, yep, this grouping of others, group of five. And, you know, maybe it's whoever came up with the group of five thing is to blame as well. But let's be much more specific.
We have to walk a fine balance on this show, too, because the overwhelming majority of the people who listen are fans of Power Five schools.
Definitely.
If we dive too deep into the, I'm going to say it, group of five stuff, we're going to lose folks. And that's also not going to be helpful for our business. But we need to find a way to walk that balance. And yeah. I don't know how we do it. We could probably start in the new year by coming up with our own name for the group of five. Let's rebrand it. Let's take that as one of our official resolutions here.
Well, I would argue, so I'm just going to, the conferences and the stories there in the group of five have become more interesting with Power Five conferences by and large becoming less competitive. How many times has Oklahoma won the Big 12, you know, these past few years? How many times has, you know, Ohio State won the Big 10? How many times has Clemson? How many times has, I guess the SEC has been weirdly more up in the air with Georgia, Alabama, LSU all winning recently, but we're talking about the same teams over and over. And meanwhile, in the American, in the MAC, in the Mountain West, we're seeing more volatility and more competition at the top in a lot of cases, you know, year over year. So in a number of ways, what the Power Five is doing at the top has aided my own interest in some of these other conferences, as I say, other.
Yeah. All right. Good one. That was a good one.
Okay. What do you have?
I want to call BS on anyone in the college football universe.
Uh-oh.
Claiming that something is not logistically possible.
Okay, continue.
I want to be more mindful of that, because this was always the laziest argument against doing a playoff, if you recall, until suddenly it vanished.
Right.
Suddenly it vanished amid public pressure, with a ton of money on the table, probably 1,000 other factors as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even still, that logistics argument had never fully been put to the test in the way that it was in 2020.
Notre Dame can't join a conference.
Exactly.
That's not logistically possible.
Seeing as how we played a high-level college football game with 60 hours of lead time.
Well,
I have to believe that almost anything is possible moving forward. I did not say easy. I know it's not easy. But just don't tell me it is logistically impossible, because after what we just went through, son, everything is possible. You can find a way to make it happen.
Son.
They did in BYU Coastal. They did on like 1,000 other different fronts during the 2020 season. We can do it. We can do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Though that was a very specific situation, in that BYU is an independent team that had a bye that week. So that was an advantageous situation. There is an element to college football that we all know and we all understand that's just like, this is how we've always done things, so this is how we're going to do things. Now,
right.
Obviously, when you throw that the wrench of 2020 into everything, then it becomes, okay, well, we're changing schedules. And like, 2 weeks later, we're changing schedules again. I think the malleability element to 2020 was pretty eye-opening, and not always in a good way. They're like, oh, maybe the Big Ten isn't as organized as they should be in terms of messaging and executing a schedule and a set of rules. So where I come down is, tradition is both the appeal and a problem of college football, right? Like, it's just, it's easy to look at the sport and say, yeah, there's so many amazing things about the traditions of these teams and these conferences and these rivalries. But then you get stuck in the mud where, like, yeah, the tradition is we schedule teams 9 years in advance. Why? I don't know. Just because we're nervous about filling things and we want to make sure everything is set. Like, well, okay. Well, what if we came up with a new way of doing things? So I think this is dead on for you, that it's not that college football needs to be brought into the 21st century, because I think they've done a relatively good job of improving things, albeit slowly. It's more the, why don't we rethink the organization, the way this sport is organized, while maintaining, it's sort of like, isn't there like a new Mustang electric car that still looks like a Mustang, but
right.
has kind of brand new guts? That's the way I think we need to think about college football and the structure thereof.
Yeah. And as a related point, I want to do everything in my power to remember that the playoff committee decided it needed to meet in person to pick four teams. They were insistent upon meeting in person. Now, look, we talked to a broad spectrum.
I mean, you were hacking foreign governments remotely via Zoom.
Sure.
So
we talked to a broad spectrum of people out there. I'm not going to tell you how to feel about this here virus. Just stay safe and stay away from people.
Yeah.
And just
let's
try not to spread it, because no one wants anyone to get sick. But
totally,
we could put all that to the side and I think agree that the argument by the playoff committee that they just couldn't do what they had to do, which was pick four obvious teams over Zoom, because, you know, sitting on Zoom for all these hours, it's hard. We all know it's hard. We've all been doing it for the last year. Shut up.
Yeah. And how many of these like older gentlemen and ladies on the committee are chasing toddlers around? My guess is Bill Hancock is not chasing toddlers around.
Yeah, and my guess is they're all hopping on Zoom calls with their family anyway. So don't give me...
And their day jobs.
And just don't give me...
And that's a small thing, right? That's a small thing.
Super small.
It's a super tiny thing, but it speaks to their way of thinking.
The way of thinking, like, and the broader point, like you said, of this is the way we've always done things. They did not all need to be in a room. Okay,
yeah.
I don't care about the virus. Whatever. Just don't try to make that argument. Think differently. Zoom's a thing. People are comfortable with it. They very easily could have done that. Anyway,
yeah,
that's neither here nor there. But I am as just to put a bow on this, I'm going to call BS on the whole logistic impossibility thing whenever I hear it, and think about it differently. because I so think it's
like what other logistics
that.
Are there? They're scheduling. Like what do you feel like is
well?
There's
so scheduling's one. Scheduling's one, right? 9 years in advance, you called that one out.
Right.
I think we're probably coming to a point with the playoff where we're going to start talking about adding games. I don't know when that's going to happen. Not privy to anything, but it's going there. It's going there because we've had the same two teams, three teams in this thing, however many years now. So it's getting there. It's going to come there sooner than later.
And could again, never have name, image, likeness.
Right. Well, that was going to be my next point.
Yeah.
The video game. Name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, that's specific. Yeah.
Name, image, and likeness could bring about all sorts of change in college football. And the logistics of that, again, will be difficult for teams to manage. Mm-hmm. How do you manage that if you're a school? I don't know. But my guess is smart people can figure it out if we sit down and think about it. Mm-hmm. Right? Let's sit down and think about it. Let's not be rooted in the past. And let's try to hack this thing together here. Figure out a best way to do it. Like, there's a thousand things in college football that I think fall into this category of being argued about as logistically impossible, which really aren't. They're more difficult and they are challenging, but we can figure it out.
Right. I mean, I think the postseason in general, right? I know we got a question about this for our Bruin A, which we're recording in a little bit here, but somebody was asking about, like, you know, ESPN is on this broadcast asking about, like, how do we make the bowls more important? Everybody, you know, we've got all these great bowl games, but people don't seem to, like, want to talk about all these games. I'm, again, paraphrasing. ESPN owning everything may not be the best thing if they're mentioning the playoff and putting up playoff graphics and playoff hypotheticals on a Wisconsin-Illinois game. You know,
right.
Everything.
Right.
I don't know if ESPN did that game specifically, but just a random game early on that doesn't necessarily have playoff implications. The discussion around bowls and the discussion around where we are as a sport in 2021 now is kind of fascinating. You have guys opting out of these bowl games. Like, if your day job, Ty, said, you're doing a great job, we want you to start working 38 Saturdays a year, your response would be, I don't know, but how much more are you paying me?
Right.
Would probably be, in some way, a reality. And I think we are approaching a point where, as we see opt-outs, as we see guys declaring for the NFL draft, and as we see guys saying, you know, I mean, this year is very specific because of COVID and public health stuff and teams opting out because of the process they had to go through to actually play games. I think we're going to reach a point where, like, bowls mattered before because that was the postseason. You know, we were watching games all New Year's Day, and they were showcases. Because college games, by and large, were not nationally broadcast. And so I couldn't, living in Southern California, watch an Iowa player every week or a Virginia Tech player every week or a Arkansas player every week just because everything was so regional. I could watch, you know, Danny Farmer in UCLA. But then on New Year's Day, I could watch all these teams. And there was a showcase for these players to, you know, get into the NFL or perhaps be a preseason All-American the next year and raise their profile. And we sit here and wonder, like, well, why don't people care about bowls? You paying me? Like, you want me to play in these games for your TV show? What are we making here? What percentage of the ESPN payout pie are going to me and my family to appear in this game when I've been on national TV 10 of the last 12 weeks? That to me is, we can't change that. Can we though? You want people to watch the Mayo Bowl? You want people to watch the Insight Bowl? Whatever. Let's get all our players on the field and have a reason to play, and it becomes more interesting.
Everybody's got motivation, right?
Yeah.
Or needs to have motivation.
And Ty, please, if your day job asks you to start working 38 Saturdays a year, promise me you will ask for more cash.
All right. Let's go to our next resolution. Dan, you're up. What do you got?
I just want to watch games with humans in my house eating food I cooked for them.
That would be so much fun, right?
Oh, it would. And hey, I have now, because I'm in a house, I have a small patio. I don't have a Ty Hildenbrandt patio. Don't get it twisted.
Right.
And a little yard back there. I actually want to watch games outside. I want to get some sort of projector, but I want to be with people and I don't want to worry about invisible particles, because Lord knows, Ty, when I get really eaten, I've got some invisible particles spreading around. College football to me, watching a game alone on my couch. And yes, Jody likes college football, but in a down year for Michigan, not as much. It's a communal experience. Like I can watch a movie alone in a dark room on a giant TV and be thrilled. Watching college football, I mean, I'm used to watching games like these past few years with our friend Richard Johnson. And I'm sure you're used to watching games every week with your buddies or Mama H if it's Notre Dame. It feels like food without seasoning. It's like, yeah, I mean, something's going into my stomach, but it's not all that fun. And so I can't wait, Ty, to just like hand somebody a plate of spicy Cajun tots and a dipping sauce. Be like, just go crazy.
Well, one that of the is, things
I'm dying for that.
You did a little bit of a live stream last night at the beginning half of the Florida Oklahoma game. And one of the things that you and Richard Johnson talked about was how odd it's going to feel like to be able to gather again comfortably, right? Like you go and you watch old YouTube videos of people gathering for a concert, what have you. And it's like, wait a second, where are the masks? Where are the protocols? Why are they so close to each other? It's a very weird experience now coming out, hopefully on the tail end of this thing. And I'm kind of in the same boat, like, just to be able to have the option to go to a sports bar to watch a game. That was not something I necessarily did a whole lot of, at least not recently.
You want that option, baby.
But to have that option to go down the street and, you know, just pull up a chair at the bar, have a draft and watch a game. That was something I think we took for granted before. And I guess depending on where you're at, maybe it's something you still can do. I don't know, but it certainly isn't something we could do here. And I miss that. I miss being able to gather with people to watch games. I miss having more of an option to go to a game. You know, of course. I have down here as a resolution, I want to go to a game next year.
Because Penn State, who do you want to see?
I don't know. But it's just been a while for me, Dan. It's been a while. I didn't go to games before, mainly because it's hard for us to do. I like talk about things that are logistically difficult, but not impossible. We do a show every Sunday morning in which we recap all of Saturday's action. You go to a game on a Saturday, it's tough to do. It's tough to do that Sunday show, but I want to find a way to make it work. So I don't know if it's during the regular season. I don't know if it's our deal where we go to the national championship. We haven't done that in a couple of years now, but I want to go to a game next year because it's been a while and I just miss it, man. To your point of like watching with other people, I want to go to a game next year. I want to find a way to make it work. We could build a whole weekend around it. We could do a recap show from the venue, whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's put our heads together and come up with something. But this is a sport that is meant to be shared with others in our tribe, be it the Verballerhood or our teams or whatever.
And we will be doing live shows this summer, some way, somehow. They might be picnics outside or something if we want to stay as safe as possible, hopefully. But there will be live Solid Verbal this
summer. We'll figure out something, but we got to find a way to enjoy this. Yeah, cookout would be great. Find a way to enjoy this with others, be it at home or at the stadium, outside the stadium. We got to figure something out.
Yeah, for sure.
You got any others?
I've got a decagon tie.
Give me the decagon. Give me more sides.
Okay. I want to be stricter. This is the oldest thing I'm going to say today. Actually, I shouldn't claim that before the show's over, but I want to be stricter with my night game curfews.
Okay.
I especially because we record pretty early on Sunday morning, and even though there's games Thursday night, Friday night, we do, and this goes with another one of my resolutions. I just don't have it in me to stay up until 1 a.m. watching Pac-12 games anymore. But sometimes it'll be an Oregon game. Sometimes it'll be like a random type MAC game or game of the American on a Wednesday or Thursday night or whatever the case is. I don't know what my exact curfew is. It's probably, hope you're sitting down, it's probably 10:30. It's probably in that range because just with having a kid and just my schedule's different, it's... And this is the other resolution, by the way. I want to be better. I want to mine better and more consistent sources for those 30 to 45 minute game broadcasts that don't have any filler between the snaps. Right. There's a sweet spot. There are some that I used to have. So if anybody has suggestions where it's just like it's every snap of every game, but it's basically limited replays unless it's like overturning a bang bang call or something like that, and touch scoring plays. But I used to have a couple of different sources where just like, wow, this is every offensive snap, every defensive snap, and you know, God bless Joe Tess or Adam Amin or whoever. I'm not at that point watching the game for their insight.
So I'm writing this down. Yeah. Dan wants to watch more pirated footage. Did I get that right? Is that correct?
Correct. That's okay. Absolutely right.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and make things up for the Verballers out there listening. That's how I really love to consume games, because we have so many that we need to get through that I want boom, snap, 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 snap. That's what I want. And you also weirdly get a better sense of momentum and trends. Like they keep running off tackle. They keep running. When you have graphics popping up and you're cutting to commercials, it's easy to sort of get distracted, maybe flip to another game. When you get to that snap, I want that efficiency, Ty. That's what I want. So that goes with my stricter curfew. The more of those sources I can get, the more I can just wake up at 5 a.m. and just scrub through everything that I can.
All right.
Very specific, though. But like, people have lives too. Like I would imagine it's not just dumb podcasters. Like, if you love college football and you happen to be a fan of a specific team and you missed what you've now learned was an awesome matchup, you'd probably rather get through it in a shorter time span than 3 hours. Right?
Yeah.
I think so. Anyway. Again, I'm old, though. I am very old, and I admit this readily. Okay. Do you want more of my resolutions?
Here's one.
Okay.
Here's one. I want to celebrate the little internet nuances of college football more.
Okay.
In 2021. A large chunk of what we do here is already that. Celebrating these little tidbits of spiciness in college football, the things that make it unique, like the surrender mm-hmm. cobras and the college kickers and the fat guy touchdowns. And I used to roll my eyes at a lot of that stuff. And maybe it's because I'm like the crusty old media guy now. I don't know. But in a weird season.
Ty, I've seen what crusty old media guys look like. You are not one of them.
Crusty in mind only.
The mustard stains don't exist. The open flies, the disheveled hair.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
The awkward conversation. No, I'm describing like 11 different people I've seen in press boxes. The awkward conversations with women,
right.
Especially much younger ones.
Right.
You're not that person. Sorry.
But it's easy to get hackneyed, right? When you do this all the time.
Sure.
And in a weird season where it was hard to get up and feel good about a lot of what was going on out there, there were these moments still in the season that we had that made it easier to feel good about what we were watching.
Right.
These unique moments of college football goodness that you could cling to and feel good about. We had moments like that scattered throughout the season. We say moments mm-hmm. all the time, but these are the things that make the sport unique. I want to remember that next time we're doing a recap show in week 10 of the 2021 season. And the season's getting a little long in the tooth. And you know how it is. You and I are grinding, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're grinding. We're feeling tired. We just watched a Pac-12 game till 1 a.m. I want to remember these moments because that is what keeps people coming back. It's what keeps people entertained. It's what makes us all feel good about college football. And I don't want to take it for granted. So
sure.
Surrender cobras, college kickers, and fat guy touchdowns. 2021 is your year, at least in my book.
Yeah, the only thing with that is those are more things in the moment. So I think you just need to be more active on social media. I think that's the solution.
No,
to living
that is
a better
not the
life.
Solution. That is not the solution.
No, but
that
those are social media things. It's hard to describe visuals. I mean, we're doing more video. I think you're right. I think those are the things. And I think that comes with, you know, attending games and tailgates and everything like that. You appreciate those little things even more. But I don't know. Those are the things that are popping, like your Dilly Bar dance.
This is the natural essence of college football. And
sure. Well, college football internet.
College football internet. But yeah. That's sort of our base here. And
right.
I want to make sure that I pay those sweet homage.
Okay, that's fine. You can do it here on the show. Things that resonate with you on Saturday will resonate Sunday morning. I am on that the social media tip. I am going to continue, because this was one of my resolutions heading into the season. I try to stay off of Twitter as much as I can. I do it for College Football Saturday because you get, oh, watch the North Carolina State ending, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I want to hold back on angry Oregon tweets because I'm pretty sure they're, and I don't have a ton of Twitter followers comparatively, but I have some. And my Oregon tweets are basically just for me. the angry ones, especially, like, how could they, you know, third and Pelham, the stuff like that from way back when regarding the old defensive coordinator and linebackers coach. So I think I've done a better job of, in the way that I'm trying to mine the feeds, the 45-minute game feeds, my Oregon fan friends, and just badgering them with text messages until, and luckily I have a couple that badger me as well, just because, I don't know. There's really no reason for me to be upset about Oregon football. They're pretty good every year, at least, and except for that one year. And it just, I'm trying to be better about animus about college kids online, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good resolution.
Yeah. I mean, you've spiked controllers, you've gone into, or spiked cell phones, gone into deep depressions. This was your 20s, though.
Yeah.
So I think you've done a much better, you've done a better job than I have. I can definitely get better.
This was the first year where I've had someone tweet at me asking for a proof of life.
I've had that before, but I'm far more publicly emotional.
Are you dead? Are you okay?
Yeah.
And this is not just in relation to a Notre Dame game. This is because of not tweeting for like a month.
Right.
And, you know, when you're
sometimes
busy,
you just have bigger fish to fry, Ty.
Yeah, when you're busy and you have a limited amount of hours and time and minutes, if the item that gets cut off is social media, then so be it. But, you know, it's not a bad suggestion. Just be nicer out there. Just be nicer.
Yeah.
Right?
And honestly, yeah, I mean, we are. I'm not even going to say guilty. I'm saying we are massively guilty of snark online.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because it's fun in the moment, but then you just feel like an idiot and you're pushing 40 and you're like, what am I doing here? And plus, I mean, you're learning nuclear fission in Cantonese. Like, you're just a busy dude. So I think that's a good one.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I want to try harder to not judge a college quarterback by his NFL draft prospects. I am so guilty of this.
Are you still an NFL? I know you know more about the NFL
than
I do. No,
but here's and this is the irony of it.
Yeah.
I don't watch the NFL on Sundays. I watch a lot of
football. What did Daniel Jones do to you?
I watch a lot of football on Saturdays, and I am still interested, very interested in the NFL. I'm actually still alive going into week 17 in a survivor pool, first time ever.
Right.
And of course, there are like 8 other guys who did it too, which is ridiculous, but whatever. It's an accomplishment. I follow it. But I don't watch it because I'm in football overload. Come Sunday, we do our thing and we try to go and live a normal life the rest of the day. But I am still very much influenced by what the NFL thinks of a guy moving forward.
Okay.
And I want to try and get away from that because our game's college. And too many guys have come and gone awesome at the college level, mediocre, non-existent at the next level, to be fair, but overlooked as a result by me when it comes to them being a quote-unquote legit threat on Saturdays because of a pop gun arm or being a little too short or being Jared Garantano, I don't know.
Whoa. What happened to being nice to college kids?
That's your resolution, not mine.
Okay.
Too many of these guys have come and gone. I've overlooked them because they were missing something that the NFL would require. And that's just not fair. Ian Book is not going to be a good pro quarterback. Newsflash.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe not. Yeah.
I'd be willing
to think Josh Allen would be. Apparently, he's good.
He's very good. I saw someone compared him to John Elway earlier this morning, which is crazy, but maybe I'm wrong. I'd be delighted to be wrong. But I have been under this assumption for years now that Book's got no future beyond what we see right now him doing for Notre Dame, which is, you know, one of the most successful quarterbacks, if not the most successful quarterbacks in the history of the program. And I've just sort of dismissed it as, he's got a limited skill set. But you know what? So what?
So this is better appreciating players for what they are, not what they aren't.
Correct.
I have that for teams. For teams for what they are rather than what they aren't. We spend a lot of time talking about teams' potential, like USC and Texas or Miami, you know, these traditional powers, Nebraska. And I think we view a lot of these teams through the lenses of fans' expectations, which is fine because that's a very real part of why coaches are hired and fired and teams, you know, feel pressure. And I want to start doing a better job of viewing teams for what they are and not what they aren't. Right. Like, and that's my problem with how the playoff is looked at. That's my problem with how the playoff is covered by places like ESPN or Fox or whoever. It's okay to look at a team for what they are. Like, they're not a playoff team, so they're not worth talking about. They're not an NFL prospect, so he's not, you know, worth taking seriously. On the flip side, I'm interested in how we can better view college players without the context of their recruiting profiles. Right? We expect certain things because they're a four-star or a five-star. And I understand mathematically, you're far more likely to get drafted in high rounds. You're far more likely to win New Year's Six games or become an All-American or win the national championship if you have that blue chip ratio of, you know, at least 50% of your team being your recruiting classes being comprised of four or five stars. But we get to a point where we place expectations on players that are clearly undeserved based on on-field play, and then we set ourselves up for disappointment as fans and people covering the sport because they were five stars, because they were four stars. They're considered to be a disappointment if they're not stars in college, when a lot of that is guesswork. You know, we're guessing at the potential because of their physical attributes, because of their tape, but there are so many variables that go into whether or not a player succeeds, be it, you know, how they grow, their injuries, their emotions, their mental makeup, you know, whether or not they selected the right school, the right, you know, type of system for their talents, that we place, and we are guilty of this, we place these expectations 2, 3, 4 years down the line based on what they were projected to be as juniors in high school. That's not fair at all.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a heavy cross to bear for some of these kids.
Totally.
Branded as a five-star or four-star.
Yeah. Saviors in a lot of these cases. Yeah.
Being told through their entire youth football career that they're the next big thing, the next hype. Then you go to a big school and, you know, it's a transition for a non-athlete to go away to college, immerse themselves in that new culture.
Doesn't this also fall under, and this is part of my decagon, the Dan Decagon of self-improvement. It's tough because a lot of the players, when they speak to the media, they're very specifically coached about, you know, not necessarily what to reveal, but how to come across. Because, you know, that you're always being judged on social media. You're always being judged by, you know, fans of the team or boosters or coaches or whoever, people in the athletic department. So players are taught to just be sort of take things pretty down the line. It's difficult to get player perspective as fans. And a lot of that's not revealed. And you find out after the fact, you know, you talk to people in the know, you know, somebody heard from somebody on a message board that, you know, they got dumped the night before the game by their girlfriend. And that's why they looked sluggish and not into the game. You're like, oh, that makes sense. It's hard to get that player perspective. But I think it would be easier for us to say or to look at these like, well, they're kids and, you know, they're there to play football, you know, suck it up, you know, get focused on the field. There's a certain degree of truth to that, I suppose. But if we can get more player perspective, and maybe this goes to the name, image, and likeness thing that, you know, players are going to be building brands on social media and stuff like that, and we get a better sense for them and, you know, what goes into their daily lives. But I'd like to do a better job of trying to get, like, what is a day-to-day life for these guys? You know, yeah, what goes into their preparation in the off season and their injury rehabilitation? Like, where are they emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever? And, yeah, I think that's important.
I've got a point here about authenticity.
Yeah.
Finding a way to surface that authenticity that we know exists but is really hard to cover during the season when we've got a million games. It unfortunately gets overshadowed. I want to find a way to surface that better in 2021 to provide that context and give the fans what they want. You know, we started this Patreon at verballers.com. This is not an ad for the Patreon, but I think it's been an interesting use case for you and I just to meet people where they're at, see what they're into.
Sure.
And it's been revealing, frankly, for both of us to see what our fan base is looking for. With regard to the podcast, just as being college football fans, where are they at? It has really helped me try to figure this out as we now start thinking about 2021. So I want to try and surface as much of that real pure goodness of college football, or if nothing else, just the real, even if it's not good, of college football to give people a better perspective of what's going on.
Sure.
What else?
I want to roast and grill more vegetables.
Okay. This is less college football, but more college football adjacent.
For like college football watching.
Okay.
I am a not nervous, but like I like snacking all the time. And over the course of like noon to midnight or whatever I'm setting my curfew at, or I guess it's 11 a.m. now that I'm in Central Time. I do love roasted and grilled vegetables, and I want to have more giant piles of them around for me to snack on. I want interesting seasoning combinations, sauces, you know, vegetables I didn't think about roasting, even fruit I haven't thought about roasting or grilling. That's a goal, Ty. That is 100% a goal. If I could just have like a giant, a giant mound of caramelized onions is pretty good to me. But any sort of just giant situation with roast vegetables, I love it. Some spicy ones, some interesting sauces. That's what I want. That's a resolution, Ty. That counts.
All right. All right. If you say so. If you say so.
You can't appreciate that?
Oh, I can appreciate it.
I just can't eat garbage all day, Ty. I'm getting older.
Yep.
How about digging deeper into season improvement stories?
Season improvement stories. So
yeah, teams who start out slow and slowly but surely, you know, get their footing, whether or not it's because, oh, you know, and it's a context thing too, like, oh, these guys got healthier, or, you know, this coach returned from, you know, some sort of personal tragedy and everything culturally was way better in that locker room, or, oh, their schedule was, you know, pay attention. They had to, you know, started out with three road games, and that's why they started 0-3 against good teams. It's hard to remember when you have so many teams playing the sport, but I do like paying attention to, digging into when teams really get their acts together in, you know, late October throughout the final stretch of the year.
I've got something similar to that as well, because 2020, at least for Solid Wife Kate and I, was a year of home improvements.
True.
Right? A lot of folks stuck at home, looking at the four walls, thinking, what can we do? It's not going to expose us to the deadly virus. We can do stuff around the house. We can paint. We can do home projects. And we did all of them. We're still doing them every weekend.
Yeah, of course.
So why not expose those on the college football side? Right? We did a Marie Kondo episode not so long ago in the off season, where we took a look at what we could get rid of, what we could tidy up in the world of college football.
Yeah.
I think if we pay attention to those storylines and try to highlight the good, highlight some of those good stories, people would gravitate to it for sure.
Can I focus on something you said early on in that? How would you improve your home for college football watching?
For college football watching?
Yeah, aside from just like buying a bigger TV, are you happy with your sound? Are you happy with your seating setup? Because you might be accommodating more people in a healthier world. Are you happy with your food preparation? Would you be ordering more takeout so you're doing less work and less cleaning on a college football day?
Right, right.
How are you satisfied with your grill? Do you want to add a smoker? Do you want to add a pizza oven? Do you want to start making better drinks? What could you improve personally? If you're self-scouting your home as it relates to football watching.
Yeah, I got to figure out a solution for outdoor watching. I don't have a great setup out there. You talked about a projector.
Mm-hmm.
I need to come up with a solution to take one of my TVs outside, or I haven't really thought that through.
Could you do that seasonally? Could you just... Like, I don't know if you have a wall to mount a TV on out there.
No, I don't have a wall.
Take the TV off when it gets cold or something.
No, I don't have a setup like that. So I think whatever I'm doing, I'm taking a TV outside. So it might involve getting one of those cheaper TCLs that I can drag in and out. Still get a decent picture.
How long could you watch night games outside in PA? Could you watch
it
through October?
I think
so. Would you go out? Because you have a fire pit situation.
Through October might be a little aggressive.
Okay.
But you could get a good chunk of the way through the month of October watching games outside. The problem would be the mosquitoes.
Mm.
Need a solution on the mosquito front. But if you can solve that, then yeah, you could watch games for a good chunk of the fall.
How long do mosquitoes last in Eastern PA?
Well, they last pretty long. As long as it's warm enough to be outside.
Do the candles not work? The candles are not no good?
Candles don't work. That stuff doesn't work.
Send your mosquito solutions. Eastern PA brand.
Yeah, send them my way.
SolidVerbal@gmail.com.
I need a setup for outside. I think that's the most pressing thing. And then inside, look, I'm not huge on like the four screen setup.
I think you could do two, though.
You could do two, and I do two.
Do you have room? So what is your two TV setup?
I don't have a two TV setup. That's where I'm going with this.
Okay.
My two TV setup is the big screen, the 65, and then closer to me, another game streaming on the laptop. And that's fine for me. But if I'm having company over to watch the game in my living room, again, in some post-apocalyptic setup where the virus has already, you know, done its thing and we're on the straight and narrow again.
Mm-hmm.
I need to have a better viewing experience for that person. It's fine for me, but not for the guest.
Is your 65-inch TV on a stand or mounted on the wall?
It's atop a TV stand.
Okay. So hypothetically, maybe just for in season, maybe just for Saturdays, if you got some sort of, I guess having an empty mount doesn't look good and the two TV setup could look weird. I don't know how Kate feels about it. I guess she's the other 50% or
my guess is very poorly.
80%.
Very poorly about this.
So what color is the wall on which your TV is up against sitting on the stand?
Like a very neutral gray beige color. A
neutral grayish beige. I know you're not
quite. I don't do
colors.
Color, you know that.
Right. Could you project above? For like bigger game nights, it's tough during the day. But the projectors, pocket projectors are pretty cheap.
It's not a bad idea. It is not a bad idea. I've also got a side wall that I could potentially use. So,
yeah, but you don't want to be switching back. You don't want to be swiveling your head all the time.
Right. True.
I think you look into projector options because you could either pull down a screen. So that's unobtrusive potentially because it's, you know, mounted up higher on the wall or on the ceiling. Or if you have a bright enough projector. And I think they're pretty bright. I don't know my lumens, Ty.
Right.
But I think you can get a pretty bright projector on. It doesn't have to be a white wall. It definitely looks better on a white wall. I think you might be able to do, you know, get a little cart behind the couch or something. Something small, not popping. You put the big game on the projector and you put the medium-sized game on the 65er.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I don't know yet, but
I think there's potential. I think there's some upside there.
So why don't we say final resolution here as we close in on an hour of talking college football in 2021.
Candles for mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me your final resolution, Dan.
Have I not given you all of them? Okay. I gave you vegetables, player perspective, game broadcasts, angry Oregon tweets, curfews, improvement stories, specific entertaining players and units.
I am not giving G5 up my teams. Angry Notre Dame tweets, by the way. It's FYI.
You're way better than I am, Ty.
I am not giving up my angry Notre Dame commentary. Continue. I'm sorry.
Do you have a secret like Notre Dame burner account that I don't know about?
I do not actually. No, I don't. No, it's all.
Maybe that's what we need.
It's all coming from me. Yeah, no burner accounts for this guy.
I think. Oh, and I also put like appreciate teams for what they are instead of they aren't. I mentioned that one as well. I think that's my decagon.
Cool.
That nine? That's yeah.
Well, look. Write in solidverbal@gmail.com. Let us know yours.
This may only be an octagon of improvement after all of that. I think it's just an octagon of improvement.
An octagon, a decagon. I think I only had five. A pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. What matters is that we're thinking about making things better in 2021. We lived through it in 2020. Let's make this coming year better. Like I said, solidverbal@gmail.com. That's the email address. Write in. Let us know your thoughts on what you're going to do as a college football fan, hopefully to make it a better experience for yourself in this new year. We're also out there on social media. You can tweet us. You can send us a message on Instagram or on Facebook. You can watch the YouTube clips. We're posting those. We're streaming games at twitch.tv/solidverbal here and there. So all sorts of goodness that is still going to be with you throughout the month of January and beyond this long, cold off season. We're going to do our part to enhance the experience for all of college football fans out there. But
by the way, I've broken my college football resolution almost every year since I made it in like 2008 or 9. Of being less emotionally attached to Oregon recruiting around signing day.
Forget it.
Every year. I've only recently found out about this outside linebacker who is considering Oregon last second. What? He committed to Michigan? He committed to Oklahoma? What? What? Yeah, I've broken that resolution a lot. I mentioned we were going to give personal resolutions at the end. Aside from being better about goals, is there anything you would like to do specifically better? Because goals is looser. Like, is there something specifically that you either want to improve, you want to do that's just fully new for you, an experiment? Is there something interpersonally with somebody in your life? What is it that you want to do wholly better or new in 2021?
Yeah, I think, well, outside of the goal thing,
and the Cantonese,
I do want to take a page out of your playbook and learn to get good at cooking one particular thing.
Oh, I think that's great.
Now, you know where I stand on omelets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already like
the omelet king of Eastern PA.
Yeah, elite level omelet chef here. But that only gets you so far. I need another arrow in the quiver.
Right.
That I can focus on over the course of the next 12 months and get better at. So I have not identified what that thing is yet, but it would be good to have that single-minded focus on one particular dish that I can cook, that we'll both eat, that other people will enjoy. And
well, give me your general diet. You eat a lot of fish. You don't eat a lot of bread. I don't know what you do for desserts. So maybe it's a... I have a suggestion for you. What about a chia pino?
I have no idea.
Does Kate eat seafood or no? Yeah.
What is that?
Does Kate eat seafood?
Kate doesn't eat seafood, no.
Oh, she doesn't eat seafood.
No.
So she's largely a vegetarian.
Mostly,
at this point.
Yeah.
Mostly a vegetarian. That's tougher. So the omelet thing works really well. What about like you could master chilies because a veggie chili is still delicious. But I think you can master that in like a week and a half.
Right. No, it needs to be something that's going to take time. One thing that I've been thinking about, because
about roasting chickens.
Well, like because it's versatile.
Roast chicken.
That's not going to help me on the vegetarian front.
That's true.
One thing I was thinking about, because it's versatile, is working with Mama H to master the good old spaghetti sauce. Grandma's sauce.
Oh, that's
sauce.
Good. But I think you can get that pretty quickly.
I think I can, but I've never done it before. And so I want to give myself a chance to not only get the recipe down, but also figure out ways to improve it.
Home brewing. Is that of interest to you?
No, I'm not doing that. That's
not home brewing. Okay.
No, I'll just buy it.
Pasta.
I've already made homemade pasta. I know how to do that.
That's impressive. I've never done that.
I've done that 1,000 times. So that... That
like you're sitting there kneading a ball of egg and flour, and
I haven't done it recently, but I've
okay
my entire childhood growing up Italian family.
That's
I've
true.
Done that.
Yeah,
I've done that more times than I could ever count. So
okay,
but no, the sauce thing to me is interesting. Sauce, maybe just for my own enjoyment, learning to make grandma's meatballs would be something. Even if Kate wouldn't eat it, I think
a saucy 21, sauces of all kinds.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going to take you long, because you can largely just follow recipes, and then the next time you make it, you just make whatever adjustments that you felt it needed. But I think a saucy 2021, because if Kate's eating largely vegetarian meals, you're enhancing her meals. If you are making, you know, an amazing burger sauce, put on a veggie burger. If you're making an amazing salsa verde, anything you want, like I think you take it by the month and you say, okay, it's salsa month this month.
Right.
Next month, it's
salsa
sandwich
September.
Sauces.
Right.
Salsa September. And then it's a marinara March. And just be very alliterative with it.
I'll be the sauce king of Pennsylvania.
I think it's a saucy 2021.
How about you? You got anything before we close it out here?
Mostly sauce based. Yeah. Same thing. No, it's more I need to find better ways to exercise in the cold, because I'm always much happier. I'm in a better place mentally if I'm able to get exercise in the morning. So that's something that's big for me. The cooking, I don't have a next dish. I think pizza is still going to take up a lot of my energy, my focus from a cooking perspective.
Sure, it has to.
I need to be neater. I for sure need to just keep my areas clean, keep the house cleaner than I do. Like I just tidiness is huge and will continue to be huge for me, because I like a good tidy area. I just need to be better about staying consistent with it. I'm very big on going to sleep with a clean house and not leaving stuff for the morning. But that just means I have to stay up later and clean everything I didn't during the day.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a big goal for me. You know, leave the kitchen tidy and pristine for when I wake up.
All right.
Yeah, that's
it. Well, look, different show for us. But Mount a second TV. All right. SolveVerbal@gmail.com, verballers.com for the Patreon. You know where to find us. SolveVerbal@gmail.com. I don't know if I said that. SolveVerbal.com if you want to subscribe. Thank you so very much for downloading the show. We wish you all a happy and healthy 2021. We will talk to you all soon. In the meantime, for that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, stay solid.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.